You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here to talk with you on the weekly wrap-up, talking about all of the best clips and moments from this past week on RHAP. And of course, this is an all-request show where we rely on you, the listeners, to tell us what were the best things that we should hear in the weekly wrap-up. So we give you the link, robisawebsite.com/best of. You tell us what should be on the show. We pull the clips and put them out all in one nice package here for you to listen to in case you missed anything on the week gone by. And back with me to talk about it all, our producer of the weekly wrap up here, who has brought in all, he's got a bag of clips. Here is Sam Moore. Sam, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back, Rob. By a little bit popular demand. I saw a couple tweets. I appreciated those. I will say, audience, you stepped it up this week. We got some more clips in. Appreciated that. We're not there yet, but we're on our way. So keep up the good work.
Yeah, I did ask the audience at the end of the show last week, did you like having Sam on the show or did you not? Because that, Sam, you know me, 12 years, I need the audience feedback, because otherwise I'm flying without instruments. That's how I know where to drive the plane. Do you drive a plane or do you steer a plane?
I'm not sure.
That's how I know where to go. The audience is my instruments. They tell me what's good, what's not good, what I'm doing that they like. They tell me what they don't like. So then I know, and that's how I do this. And so at least three or four people said, I like hearing Sam on the weekly wrap-up.
That's great. And the three or four people that said, I don't.
I didn't hear any.
So sorry.
And I got zero people who said to me, I don't like hearing Sam on the weekly wrap-up.
Because I specifically said, don't do that. So it worked. If you just tell people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell me in private. Yeah, like, tell me in private if you don't want Sam on the weekly wrap up. Like, don't hurt his feelings.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, we don't like that.
But yeah, keep sending in clips. robhasawebsite.com/best of. Mm-hmm. Really helps make this show possible.
Yeah. Okay. And that's what we're here to do. So let's jump right into it. We've got clips from Robert's podcast, the wrap-ups. And so we've got some fun stuff to listen to here today. We're going to get things started here on a clip that was referenced quite a bit on the podcast this week. Of course, one of the best things about the Roundtable podcast is when we haven't heard from our own Melissa Denny, the voice of the people, in a minute. And sometimes she has a lot that she needs to get off her mind. And they don't call her the voice of the people for nothing, because she sometimes is able to get out there. And Taryn is out there, you know, day after day after day after day after day. He's dealing with the daily grind of this. But sometimes Melissa can get a little bit frustrated with everything that's going on, especially when she hasn't had the chance to talk in a little bit. And so here is Melissa from this week's Stockwatch Roundtable with Taryn and Chantel Francis.
They could decide, you know what, Carson is going to stick to a Final Four deal. Lamar's been talking about coming after us, and he's pissing me off. So they could just vote Lamar out at this point. And then you also have the consideration that if Carson does win the veto and he doesn't listen to the idea that, like, don't use it on yourself because we'll put up Cynthia, that he could still use it on himself. Cynthia could go up. And then at that point, you probably, again, go, well, I'd probably prefer Lamar leave than Cynthia at this point. He's a bigger threat and he's actually coming for us.
Why wouldn't Carson just use it on himself? Like, I mean, yes, Cynthia goes up, but who cares? I don't know. Like, I feel like I get that he wants her to stay as well, but would he, I mean, I guess is his intention to have her stay over him?
I think for Carson, a bigger win than actually winning the game would be to like go out protecting his friend, doing an honorable thing. You know what I mean?
God. I'm just you saying that makes me so mad. Like, it's just hearing that, like, yeah, to do the honorable thing of protecting his friend. It's like, what are we doing here? let's think for a second. What are we doing here? Because what is any of this for? Like, why? Why? We've got like the worst cast. Like, okay, sorry everyone, but no one was thrilled about the cast. Like, yeah, I sat there being like, guys, what were you expecting? But like, I also like wasn't thrilled by it, but I wasn't thinking I was going to be. So like, okay, fair and square, you give us a cast that we don't like, fine, whatever. We expected that from you guys at this point. So we have a cast we don't care about. No, none of the celebrities that we're like, oh, these are celebrities that we want to see. We want to know their personalities. We want to get to know them in a house. We want to see them play Big Brother. No, we don't. We don't care. So we already have a cast we don't care about. So get that out of our minds that we're going to have something fun there. So at least at the bare minimum, maybe we could get some like cast members who actually want to play, who actually care about the game. Oh, no, we don't, because the game starts up. We already have like five people who just want to go home and are like, can I be put on the block, please? It's like everybody's trying to leave. Okay, so we already have that. The rest of the cast like doesn't care about the game, doesn't know about the game, are asking questions about like, can the veto player like play it on themselves? What's going on here? So nobody knows about it. They didn't even go through like any sort of training or any sort of like
let me watch the
season. Maybe they went through it, but they certainly didn't care about it. So we don't have anybody who cares. Then we have like two people who care about it, and yet they're awful. And we don't like want to see them play. They're just like mean and nasty, and we don't want to see it. And it's just awful. And then you've got like any chance of a good season out the door, back to back. We literally have Chris Kirkpatrick and Shayna Lee back to back. Our only hopes for anything happening were those two. And then everybody else is a total flop and just wants to save their friends and just wants to like let the chips fall where they may. Oh, wait, they are actually two people trying to win. And like, it just, oh, okay. And then we get to the end and the people already are just going to vote for their friend because nobody cares. Like, yeah. I just feel like, what are we doing here? Like, yeah, what is the point of any of this? Because if this is a game, then let it be a game. But don't just like sit there and have everybody just be like, I don't care about this, so I'm just gonna like leave and be fine with it. And then at the end of it, like, we're all just gonna vote for who we like the best because we don't care about the game itself. And we're outside the house. We're not sequestered. We're watching the game, or we're not watching and we don't care. We're just letting Twitter influence us or whatever. Like, what is the point of this if not to watch a game and be entertained by the game, or to watch the game and be entertained by the players? Like, what are we doing here? Let's end the podcast. Let's turn it off. What are we doing?
Great job there by Melissa. Sam, you know I love a good what are we doing here rant.
Yeah, and this Celebrity Big
Brother bread and butter
is primed for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's delivering on that front tenfold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that Rob has a podcast, like, colon, what are we doing here? I mean, is almost like the unofficial title of the podcast.
For sure. And we're saying this as of recording time. We have not started four straight nights of Celebrity Big Brother yet. Mm-hmm. We'll see where we are on Monday.
And 5 out of 6. Oh, yeah.
5 out of 6.
Yeah. Okay. Great job there by Melissa. Okay. So it was, yeah, a slower week. I don't know if I necessarily agree on Melissa's take that one of the two only hopes was Chris Kirkpatrick. I think that she might be a little biased that was her draft team, Chris Kirkpatrick and Shayna Mokler.
Well, maybe he'll get his ass kicked sometime. Then it'll be more interesting TV.
All right. I've been talking about the cast of Survivor 42. That's just around the corner. A couple of Wednesdays from now, we'll be watching Survivor 42 over on March 9th. And Mike Bloom and I have been previewing the Survivor 42 cast. And we've been listening to some interviews that were recorded with the contestants. Mike sent in questions and they recorded their answers in Fiji. And we know Mike Bloom has a fear of adult babies, but also we found out about, this was news to me, about another one of Mike Bloom's fears here as we were previewing Omar during the Survivor 42 preview of the Taku Trot.
So here's some other fun quirks about Omar. What is something we would never know from looking at you? He goes into this story. He talks about losing his dad a couple years ago, but he grew up with very little money, living off my mom's disability support. There were times where our lights were cut, we were evicted, and there was little money for food. Given that level of instability, people would be surprised to realize how far I've been able to come, which is fantastic. You know, great story of adversity. He finishes the section by saying, also, I'm afraid of condiments.
Condiments.
Condiments. Yes. People who know Jimmy from the challenge will know that some people are afraid of ketchup, Rob.
Because it looks like blood?
I don't know. I'm not Tori. I have not done the psychological study.
All
as to why
condiments.
People...
Mustard, too?
I don't know if he has a type, right? Like, I guess if you have to pick your literal poison, if, you know, Omar gets a trip to the Survivor
mayo,
hot dog bar.
I get it. Is mayo a condiment?
I think so. Is mayo, in your opinion, the most deadly condiment?
I don't know if it's deadly, but I feel like it's kind of gross.
If someone shady meets you in an alley, holds their coat open, and flashes a bunch of condiments, which are you flinching in front of the most?
I mean, I feel like that barbecue sauce is pretty harmless.
Yeah, I mean, it's tangy. I guess I'm thinking of something that will, like, I don't
know.
It does
go well on a lot of pork, so maybe that it's not as useful if you're not eating pork.
Well, that's a good point. I think if someone is showing me condiments, I have the implication that they are going to try to eat me, not that they are going to try to harm me in any way with said
condiments. If somebody shows you condiments, you think that they're trying to eat you.
Well, I think if someone's approaching me, you know, menacingly, right, with like, you know, holding a knife in one hand and like a packet of relish in the other hand, I'm like, I think that dude's going to eat me right now.
You're not doing a lot of grilling in the summer, Mike?
I mean, I think it's a very good assumption to think that I am not.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess that's a future warning for if and when we have live events in the future. Nobody approach me with weaponry and condiments or I will make a lot of connections there.
What if there was somebody who was wearing like the white chef's hat?
I mean,
would that be a signal to you that it was like a safe space? You didn't have to worry that you were going to be thrown on the barbecue and then had condiments served on you?
That depends. What does the apron say? You know, does it say to serve man? Mm-hmm. Because then my brain's really going to jump to my own neuroses place. But if it's like kiss the cook, actually, if it says kiss the cook, then I might feel even weirder about it. Cause then there's just a lot of mixed messaging going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I personally, like, I think that it would be a little like low class to be serving like a lot of condiments with like if you were eating a person. Like I feel like that would be very insulting to the person, I would think.
Well, I mean, to the person especially of as an insult to injury of like you go through the harm of eating me and you drown me in ketchup like some well done $2 steak. How dare you?
Right.
I'm prime rib at best.
Pass the A1 for this guy.
Yeah, maybe that's the thing as well is, you know, Omar has an affinity towards animals in his role as a veterinarian. Could it be he's sensitive to when people use condiments in response to, you know, eating animals, considering the day-to-day that he plays with them?
He loves parrots, loves pigeons, so it's all possible. Okay. All right. do you think we made enough people annoyed with this segment yet or keep going?
I don't know. Yeah, I think
let's get out. Let's get out while we still have a podcast. Okay. Well, we didn't get any negative feedback yet. Maybe if once we include it in the weekly wrap up, that's when we'll start to get roasted.
Yeah. And I just want to know, so adult babies, condiments with Mike Bloom, is it ever spiders or heights? Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to get into the psyche of Mike Bloom, which actually I take that back. I do not want to get into the psyche of Mike Bloom. Mm-hmm. I repeat.
Okay. So speaking of Mike Bloom, Mike joined us. And by the way, we'll have one more of Survivor preview coming up later on this week, where on Wednesday we will drop our third and final preview of the three Survivor tribes. We have for you something from The Amazing Race this week, where we spoke with Jessica Leese and the aforementioned Mike Bloom about this week's leg through Greece. And one of the challenges that the Amazing Race teams had to do was to listen to a story from a priest and put these quote unquote icons, which are pictures of all of the saints, into the right order based on the questions. And we got into a discussion of why are these things called what they are in our recap of leg nine of the, is it leg nine or leg eight?
It's episode eight.
Episode eight of The Amazing Race. Meanwhile, we start to see teams arriving at the church for the second of the roadblocks here in the episode. Who Wants to Be Iconic is the name of this one.
Yeah, I love it. I also loved, I was a little tricked at first because I know when Ryan and Dusty showed up, it cut to like this random guy sitting there with a bunch of portraits. And I'm like, oh, this isn't the guy affiliated with the roadblock. And he is. They just sort of preemptively showed him. I really liked this task. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm a big old frickin' nerd, but I love me some book learning tasks, people.
But did you like the name Who Wants to Be Iconic?
I think so. Like, mm-hmm. What else? Like, Who Wants to Get Saintly? Would that be the alternate take on it?
I mean, that's literally what those portraits are called.
Oh, icons?
They're called icons, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the only thing you could call it.
How about, isn't it iconic, don't you think? Mm.
It's like Savlaki on the dusty floor.
When you get to the pit stop, you're not supposed to be there yet.
It's like rap and tomate, and your veins are in.
For more of that nonsense, check out our recap of this week's Amazing Race, plus exit interview this week with the most recently eliminated team from the Amazing Race. We don't have a clip because I don't think that we had one that would fit in the time constraints of this show. I also had a podcast with Dr. Christian Hubicki this week where he answered questions from the listeners of RHAP about science and about pop culture and Survivor. One of the things that he talked about was the perfect starting word for Wordle. Now, Sam, you are a Wordle aficionado. I don't see you tweeting your scores out.
I do occasionally. If I do really well or if I get really pissed off about something, I'm on a 49-day playing streak and 23 in a row is correct.
Wow.
So I've only
wow.
gotten like two wrong and I was really upset those 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would happen if you broke your streak?
I would be tweeting. I'd be pretty upset. And it's going to be like some stupid word too. Mm-hmm. It's not going to, I'm sure it's a word that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Since it went to the New York Times, I think it's harder words.
Interesting.
But also a couple of days ago, I couldn't get Robin.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in my lexicon.
So Christian, he says that in his research that he found that the number one word to start off Wordle with was crane. Did you agree or disagree with Dr. Christian Hubicki?
Who am I to disagree with Christian Hubicki?
Well, I don't think he's has as much Wordle experience as you do, though.
Yeah, but he's got a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
I barely have a PA.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if Christian says it, I've tried using crane a couple times and it's been within this streak, so clearly it's worked. I usually mix up my starting words though, but in honor of Christian and honor of this podcast, when I do the next one, I will start with crane.
Okay.
All right. Here first.
All right. Let us know if Christian's suggestions are working. And you can check out that whole podcast with Christian up at robiswebsite.com. Of course, the Purple Pants podcast, Bryce Isaiah, covers all sorts of different reality TV topics, including The Amazing Race. He is joined by Brooke Kamhi, a winner of The Amazing Race, to talk about what has been going on the latest batch of episodes. And Bryce had a lot to say. Spicy Brycey was back because he had a lot to say about one of the teams who had been recently eliminated from The Amazing Race. And that would be the team of Akbar and Sherry. Let's check in on the Purple Pants podcast to hear what Bryce is thinking about season 33 of The Amazing Race, specifically Akbar and Sherry.
Now, I'm going to get to Raquel and Kayla later, but Mr. Akbar, Mr. D1 athlete, Mr. I can do it all, Mr. Come on, Sherry. Come on, Sherry. Come on, Sherry. How dare you get to this course and perform the way you performed, okay? How dare you? And of course, oh, now you want to blame it on your size 13 shoes. Now you want to blame it on your sweatsuit. Now you're like, now we really see the tea, Akbar. It's not that Sherry is slowing you down. First of all, to me, y'all are equally yoked. Y'all in the same, like, physical condition. Because we saw it today when you were by yourself, you didn't perform at all. Then Ryan and Dusty, they had to switch from the cheese curdling to then go catch a mule. Their car wasn't working. They had to push the car up. Okay. They had to strap the mule on. They got there and you let Dusty lap you. Okay. Poor Sherry. Raquel came back. They took off. Okay. Lulu came back. They took off. Dusty came back. They took off. And this is why I like Sherry, because not once did Sherry yell. Not once did Sherry, like, she voiced to us, she was upset and that, like, you know, he is probably the reason that they not doing well right now. But did she rub it in his face? Not at all. Okay. Not at all. Where is your D1 athleticism now, Akbar? See, that pissed me off. And mind you, I'm not like, he completed it. Kudos. But you so hard on Sherry on all of these things. And here's the first time this season that you've actually had to do something by yourself and you dropping the ball. Akbar. I'm going to just let it go.
I'm going to cut you off.
I'm going to just let you go because I could not believe the, and it was like he was walking. You weren't even trying. Where's the keep up the pace, Sherry? Keep up the pace, Sherry. He gonna try to blame it on he's so tall. His size 30. You've been wearing a size, whatever size shoe you've been wearing your whole life. So now that's stopping you. Akbar, get up out of here, okay? And stop being so hard on Sherry because y'all are equally yoked. And truth be told, if Sherry did run faster, y'all wouldn't be running any faster because we'd be waiting for you. Akbar. Ooh, he made me mad.
All right, there you go. There's some spicy Brycey on Akbar and Sherry. That's the best when Bryce gets hot on a podcast. Of course, you could hear Bryce on the Purple Pants podcast every week, Sam. And you can hear more about Bryce right about now because Bryce was on The Taryn Show with Taryn Armstrong to talk all about his superpower, which you will hear in this clip from this week's The Taryn Show.
Growing up, whenever, you know, you notice different things about yourself and you always tend to shy away from it or you don't like it or you hate it, in reflection, I'm like, that's actually your superpower. And I think that if we could teach more people, more children, more anyone to lean into the thing that makes you different, that makes you othered, and that's your superpower. And if you can lean into it more at a young age, you'll be able to harness the energy and like 1,000%. Like if I were, you know, because I'm still young, but if in high school, if in college, I were able to be so comfortable with who I am and know that, like, you know, I'm walking in my purpose, I could have won Survivor. Like, you know, right? Like, yeah. It's endless.
Mm-hmm.
Great interview with Bryce this week on The Taran Show. Definitely check that out in the Taran Show podcast feed. Go to robiswebsite.com/Taran feed for that. All right. We had, Sam, another show which premiered this week. It was Love is Blind, baby. And I loved all five episodes of Love is Blind this season. I'm so
in. I concur. I never watched the first season when you guys did the when you did the preview podcast with Mary and Asia. I checked out the first episode of season one back when you did the preview podcast with Mary and Asia. I was into it, but didn't have time to watch the whole season. I'm all in on season two. I cannot wait to watch the new episodes.
It's been great. Podcast was great with Asia and Mary talking about these couples. There's one guy in particular. He was a lot to deal with in week number one. His name is Shake, and Shake seemed to struggle with understanding that the idea is that the show is called Love is Blind. And he thought he could get around some of the obstacles of not knowing what these women look like by asking some leading questions. Here are Asia and Mary talking about Shake from Love is Blind.
Shake doesn't start out great. I really actually was kind of surprised that Shake turned into a person who got in a couple at all, because it seemed like the first montage we got was here's Shake striking out over and over and over with all these women, including Deep D, who actually I was like, claps for Deep D, who calls him out when he he kind of pretty rudely, I would say, first off, I mean, seems to only care about the physical appearance of the women even before he's met them, and then asks in a pretty condescending way, like, oh, could I pick you up on my shoulders? Would I have issue, you know, trouble picking you on my shoulders? And she says, like, yeah, that's really rude. That's a really rude thing to say.
So. Right. Yeah, I did not like this from him at all. And I thought this should have been the biggest red flag for Deep D. I feel like this was I've seen this a lot on TikTok, but people like getting the ick for like guys with certain things, which is like just the one turn off that'll like do it for you. That would have been it for me. So like,
there's no coming back for that.
No,
for me, I don't think it reminded me of like Michael Scott, like something he would say, but like not in like a like Michael Scott would say it because he's like socially unaware. Whereas I feel like Shake said it because that was really where his mind was at.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
mean, it was like to ask a woman, would he have trouble picking her up on his shoulders? What is your expectation? Like, you're thinking she's just going to say, no, you wouldn't have any trouble at all. Like, no. Where is your social awareness? Where is your just knowledge of?
Yeah, I feel like the correct answer to that is like, I don't know, Shake, how much are you, do you struggle picking people up? Like, it's like, I don't know your barometer either. So that's not helpful.
Right. But
it was hard because, look, people, you know, we understand that appearance and attraction has a lot to do with relationships. That's the gimmick of this show,
right?
Is that we're not doing that. So, but
that's the key piece.
Sam, I don't attend a lot of outdoor music festivals. Is that a big part of it, where you pick up the person that you're with and put them on your shoulders?
Rob, you've known me about almost like 5-6 years now. How many outdoor music festivals do you think I've gone to?
I don't know.
Take a guess.
All right. So, yeah, we got to see what's going on with Shake and Dietz. We got to check out what's going on with Shane and Natalie and the other Shayna and everybody else from Love is Blind. And you can check out our brand new podcast feed where you can listen to all of our Love is Blind recaps. Go to robiswebsite.com/firstsightfeed. Don't be stingy with your feedback and your star ratings, please. Of course, you could also hear in that same podcast feed all of Asia's coverage of Married at First Sight with Jason Reed. That's at robiswebsite.com/firstsightfeed. If there's a show where people get married without knowing each other, Asia Welch is on top of it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about everything going on News AF, Renap, and much more, including the return of the Millie Gang here right after this.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time. Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, we are back, and let's jump in on News AF this week. We opened up the show, and Tyson was telling Danny and I about how he had received some concerning messages, Sam, about what was going on with some purchases that had been made on his account. But Tyson was a little bit sus when he saw who the text messages were from. This is from this week's edition of News AF from this past week. I believe it was called Tesla Sound Effects are News AF from the February 15th, 2022.
I also got really good, well, bad news probably this morning. It depends on really what I am getting charged for, but I got this text come through literally on the hour as we were firing up here. It says your purchase order number 121439 on Arnazon, Arnazon, is being processed. You will be charged $337.61. Contact support at 866-2040-415 if you wish to cancel this order. So I called and all I had to do was give them my credit card number and my billing address to get that canceled. I still don't even know what I got charged for, though. Maybe it was something super cool like a Ginzu knife or whatever those things are.
What did you buy on Arnazon?
I use Arnazon. I feel like it's better for the environment than Amazon.
With all it's imaginary, and so are all of its products.
So Arnazon is, I think, probably the new Amazon. But obviously this is a scam. But if it is a scam and they're sending out text messages like this, why don't they just say Amazon? Are they like,
well, they can't. Amazon is
legally
litigious.
Legally they can't say Amazon, but they can try and steal my money from me.
Maybe there is an Arnazon that like someone started after Amazon. He's like, oh dude, let's call our company Amazon. This is like 2000. It's like, oh, it's taken. Well, what about Arnazon?
Because your name's Arnold, and they're like, okay,
and my name's Zon.
Ethan, maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
Now, Tyson, did you double check with Rachel just to make sure that she didn't actually make purchases on Arnazon.com? You might cancel it. And Rachel's going to come in and be like, Tyson, well, I just ordered our new living room set on Arnazon.
And I was like, not until we get rid of our old one, because we've already had it a month and a half. We obviously got to throw it in the garbage. I haven't checked with her, but honestly, when that first message came through, I was like, what did Rachel buy for $337? And then I was like, Arnazon. But I was also, it's weird. I've never gotten a text like this from Amazon. But Arnazon, just, you know, better customer service probably.
Yeah. They text you to ask you if you want to cancel the order. They make it so easy.
The minute you make it the order, they ask if you want to cancel it. That's actually kind of nice.
Yeah. It's really nice. Yes. And then all you had to do is call. So yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad you resolved that.
Yeah.
It's better at night knowing.
Tara, it's not Arnazon. It's Arnazon.
Arnazon.
Arnazon. With an A in the middle. Arnazon. I just don't want Tara to go to the wrong website. And OMG is right. It's Arnazon.corn.
We had a lot of fun with Arnazon all the way through that episode of the podcast. Very fun episode of News AF this past week, if you want to go back and check it out. Over on Renap, you know, I asked the podcast host, if you have a clip, let us know, because we'll put it into the show. For the first time, Akiva sent us a clip, and he said, I think this was the clip of the year for Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, Sam.
And this was sent during the O Word. So, you know, this is good.
He was very busy, but he had some time to send us a note that this clip right here should be in the best of the week, at the very least, for right now. And it involves a story of how Akiva's grandfather called him during a school day one time to give him the New York Jets schedule for the year. Akiva got called to the office, and his grandfather is going to tell him the Jets schedule. This came up, I don't even remember how, during Rob and Akiva write a children's book from this past weekend on Renap.
What are our listeners want the children's book to be about?
Okay, so I called up my son. This is how this came up.
Yes,
so
which son?
Got COVID. Noam.
Okay.
He's 8 years old. And I said, Noam, we're writing a kid's book today.
Oh, yeah, I should ask my kids.
Yeah, you still can.
I can't. They're in school.
Now, one time my grandpa called. Well, I was in school. I was in high school. And my grandpa called me out of class to tell me the jet schedule. So you could, like, call the office in school. Maybe you could get, like, one of your kids on the phone. Mm-hmm. And you could ask them, like, hey, like, you got to whisper because you're going to get in trouble with the principal or whatever. Like, what should the book be about? We don't have to bother them in school today. Next time.
Your grandfather called the school and said, can you pull my grandson out of his class? I need to give him the Jets 16 game schedule for, 8 months from now.
So I thought one of my parents had died because, like, why would my grandfather call me in the middle of the day at school? My grandfather takes school very
week
seriously.
One, Buffalo.
It's literally, let me tell you what happened.
1 p.m.
Let me tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. Someone, maybe it was an intercom or maybe we didn't even have an intercom. Someone comes and says, Akiva, your grandfather's on the phone downstairs. Now, again, like, there's no way someone hasn't died because, why he would never call me during class. So I pick up the phone and I'm sitting next to the office administrator and he's like, don't say anything. And he literally starts saying, he's like, the Jets schedule just came out because they would do now it's a big production on NFL Network. NFL Network didn't even exist.
Yes. Your grandfather was ahead of the time that he was doing the schedule reveal show.
They would just drop it on they would just say it on WFAN in the middle of the day or something. Mm-hmm. So he wrote it down.
Okay.
And he called me. He's like, don't say anything. And he literally says, week one, Buffalo. Week two. Literally, that's what happened. Exactly how you said it. And I'm like sitting there like, one, like, okay, I'm very excited about the Jets schedule. But two, like, also, thank God my parents are, still doing great. Yeah. But like, that's what I was still like. I'm just walking down the stairs, assuming I'm walking to like the worst day of my life. Meanwhile, he's just calling me to tell me the Jets schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like, who died? And grandpa's like, our playoff chances. We're going to go to Pittsburgh and then on the road to Seattle.
Of course, you can check that out up on the Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast feed. And then, of course, also check out this weekend's edition of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, Millennials Boot Camp, Sam.
Number two.
Okay. And we're going to learn some new phrases for all. We're going to help the millennials out. Okay. So they can talk with the younger up and coming generations. They can learn all the new slang on this week's edition of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. So, of course, everybody knows Akiva, big football fan. It was the Super Bowl this past weekend, and I had the pleasure of joining Grace Leader on this week's Sports Wrap Up. And Grace and I, we talked through the Super Bowl, but more importantly, I wanted to talk about the commercials.
Yeah, from what I saw, it looked good. Some of us had to watch Big Brother, Rob. So. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about the commercials. It's the only thing that I was qualified to talk about. And so Grace had me on and we got into the commercials and I was talking about how too much with the crypto, too many crypto commercials during the Super Bowl. And so here I am with what I think is the best pitch for the crypto ads that did not get pitched during the Super Bowl with Grace Leader on the Sports for Hop Up.
So yeah. Much crypto, boy.
Electric cars and crypto seem to be the things they would like us to buy.
Yeah, what a hellscape in the 2022 Super Bowl. It'll be all about your electric cars and your crypto.
Larry David was in a crypto commercial last night. What do you think of that? What do you think of his career? He missing the boat on all these great inventions.
See, was missing the boat? Because I kind of feel like that where they called up Larry David and like, okay, we want you. And believe me, I couldn't tell other than for, you know, like the cryptocurrency ad council. I couldn't tell you what person was advertising what crypto. I was sort of, and maybe that was the point of like, yeah, hey, crypto is hot.
Yeah,
give me some
it doesn't matter
today.
Which one you are a part. I think like I could name probably they're all just like three acronyms and you know. Oh, did you buy FTX crypto? Right. Like I don't know which one was on which.
Grace, can I put on my Don Draper suit here for a minute?
I'm a big Madman fan.
All right, open on. We are going slow pan into a graveyard. Sharp right, we see. The Crypt Keeper.
Oh, this is good. This is good. Yes.
Tales from the Crypto.
Hey, I'm the Crypt Keeper, and I want to hear a fable of someone who didn't invest.
What celebrity are you getting? What celebrity are you getting to play the Crypt Keeper?
I don't know if the voice of the Crypt Keeper.
It doesn't matter.
And the Crypt Keeper is going to get like a. Somebody slept on the market and now they have FOMO.
We're going to need to like copyright this because I think like in 2 weeks, you're going to see the Crypto Keeper.
Crypto Keeper.
Yeah.
Tales from the Crypto.
It's really good.
Horror story. You missed out. Boom.
I mean, I think
we
kind of missed the boat on this one, but we should certainly be pitching Robin Akiva, right? A Super Bowl. I mean, you just did it, but for next year,
I think that was a, but that has been pitched and I think that we did not end up taking it, but I would, you know, we could work on Super Bowl ads for different companies, but the Larry David one I thought was so interesting because I felt like that a little bit like I was sort of like, boy, is Larry David selling out and doing crypto? And like, I feel like that was so against the grain. Of what everything that Larry David has made a career about, but in the commercial, he's
not buying crypto.
He's saying like, I think this is a bad idea. So I wonder if that was sort of like the way that you got Larry David was for him. Like, I'll be in a crypto ad to say that I would not buy crypto. Like, yeah. I'll take your money to say, it's not
plausible deniability.
Yeah.
I never bought it. I never.
Sam, I'm telling you, the Crypto Keeper is going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, I will say
it's very spooky. Honestly,
my favorite ad probably was the Larry David one until we found out what he was promoting. Mm-hmm. That was good. Mm-hmm. But you might be onto something here. Larry David 1 year, Crypto Keeper the next.
Okay. All right. So Jenny, Autumn, and I, we did the slop on Thursday. The slop is too sloppy. I can't even share a clip in this front-facing podcast of the slop talk with Puya and Jenny talking about Shayna Mokler's relationship and the week in Todrick Hall. So check that out, of course, for the patrons of Rob is a Podcast. But Jenny and I then switched gears Thursday night. We talked about Joe Millionaire. It was the wildest Joe Millionaire in weeks as they brought in all of the women's parents to meet.
And loved ones.
Yeah, parents and loved ones to meet Kurt and Steven. And there was one parent in particular. I mean, there's a couple. But one that really stole the show was Debbie, who is Amanda's mom. And she had a bunch of revelations, including that Amanda's family is worth more than the actual Joe Millionaire, which was a bit of a bombshell, but also that she has a very specific question for these two young men here. And Jenny and I will react to that on this week's edition of Joe Millionaire. Jenny, let's get back to talking about Debbie, because Debbie, yes. In addition to dropping the "do you know how much my daughter is worth?" Also, she has another question for these guys. A hard-hitting question.
Obviously, very you guys are in good shape and, I don't know, working out or whatever. So, you guys got good stamina?
You guys got good stamina?
How's your stamina?
The stamina is not a problem?
Can you imagine? Like,
I cannot.
There's a gif on Twitter of like the reaction to this moment, and Steven is furiously shaking his head no. And Kurt is saying, I'm a thoroughbred, which I vomited in my mouth immediately upon hearing that.
You guys got stamina?
How's your stamina?
I regularly do 3-hour podcasts, ma'am.
What number is that today?
Yeah. Ma'am, this is my 4th podcast today.
Yeah, stamina for days. Talk your ear off.
We call it podcast stamina.
Oh my God.
Steven, absolutely not. No way. Mm-hmm. Do not.
It's a first to win the race, and I always win. You don't need stamina, right? It doesn't take long. I mean, I can recover fast.
Yeah, there you go.
I learned so much. I'm telling you, they're hammered at this point, Rob, okay? I saw the champagne glasses, the big wine glasses. Everything was getting refilled. Every scene, there was a new, fresh fill. Like, this is like the drinking to get through the anxiety of meeting multiple families in one night. Like, and also I think it's one of those things where like Amanda's family is obviously like one of like the cooler, more down to earth ones. Yeah. And I think that they're like, you know, let's let it a little bit loose. Like you literally just got asked about your stamina. So Steven's like, okay, I'll meet you at your level. And I am just going to share way too much information. Like, I guess for him, it's kind of like there's no downside here because he's not trying to get with Amanda. So he's like, maybe, yeah, I just make an ass of myself here.
Yeah, but can we just go back to what he says here?
So, first to win the race, and I always win.
First to win the race, I always win.
So what he's saying here, Rob,
yes,
is that he finishes the race first every time. Mm-hmm. And that also he always wins. So in his mind, finishing the race first means you have won.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a little bit of a flaw in this line of thinking in this type of race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But whatever, Steven.
You don't need stamina, right? It doesn't take long. I mean, I can recover fast.
Yeah.
Kurt's just like, shut the hell up, dude, man. You're making this so awkward, man.
Yeah. This was a really fun week on the Joe Millionaire recap. Again, you don't have to be watching Joe Millionaire to enjoy the Joe Millionaire recap, Sam.
No, it is.
In fact, it's probably better. It's probably better absolutely. Because you don't have like the sunk cost of like, why can't I spend this time watching Joe Millionaire?
I enjoyed the podcast so much more than watching the episode.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't just not watch the episode.
Okay. All right. Over on Nothing But Netflix this week, Chappelle and I were joined by Asia Welch and also by Sasha Joseph to talk about the Netflix hit, The Tinder Swindler. And we were talking about this guy that you wouldn't believe what he's got going on. He's got all of these scams just to set the stage a little bit. A big part of the scam is that he says he is a Tinder swindler, some light spoilers, it's kind of in the title, Sam.
Yeah. No,
he's a swindler.
You get the idea.
He's a swindler. Okay. He sucks these women in, tells them he's got like this big diamond enterprise going on. And then at some point he sends them like a photo like, oh, my enemies have attacked us. They hurt my bodyguard. We are talking about how they actually got those photos in this clip. From Nothing But Netflix, talking about The Tinder Swindler.
And what about Peter?
What's the whole point?
Does Peter not have anything he could sell?
He's been through a lot, Asia.
Peter in the hospital.
That man has been beaten bloody many, many times. He's
let's speculate about that, too. Like, because that had to have happened at one point, right? Like, those are real pictures that he's now regurgitating.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Who's
it
all
like,
in on it?
Well, that was the day. It was like, all right, Peter, here's the plan. All right, trust me on this. Okay, I'm going to have to break a bottle over your head. Okay, just stay with me. Stay with me. It's all part of a big plan. Okay. Then give me your credit card.
I can pay for your bills.
Mm-hmm. Listen, it could be even bigger than that. Like, they have the whole scene where they're in the ambulance and Peter's right there. Who's to say that's not staged? I mean, like, if he could get all this stuff, who's to say it's not like, let me rent an ambulance for a day and, like, set up this
not
whole little
calling
thing
for this.
Yeah, like, how did Peter recover from the injuries? I'm like, Sasha, girl, there wasn't no injuries.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying maybe it happened once. Like, in my mind, they got their comeuppance. Yeah. Like, someone was like, I saw you in the street. It's on site. It's done. You know, like, in my mind, that happened.
That was a great podcast this week on Nothing But Netflix, talking about the Tinder Swindler. That was really, really fun. And if you have watched the Tinder Swindler, or if you are planning to, definitely check out our recap from this week. We hadn't officially made the call on what we're doing on Nothing But Netflix, but it's official. We're going to be talking about part one of the Kanye documentary.
You pumped, Rob?
I am pumped. I am pumped because of that. I know Chappelle said first that he didn't want to talk about that. And so he came around to talk about with Isaiah Goins coming up this weekend on Nothing But Netflix. All right. So we have an Australian Survivor clip, but I saved this for late in the show because maybe you're not caught up on Australian Survivor. And so I want to give you plenty of opportunity to jump out and stop the podcast if you do not want to hear about Australian Survivor. And I'll give you about like five more seconds. But just
if you want to skip, just do like 3 minutes ahead, I'd say. 3-4 minutes. Just go ahead in the podcast. Get out now if you're not interested in Survivor Australia spoilers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, of course, on Australian Survivor, some big news happened this week.
Very sad.
The Queen got voted out from Australian Survivor. Sandra is out, but she does have an exit interview with our own Shannon Gus. And I know this is one of the highlights of Shannon Gus's podcasting career. As Shannon Gus.
It's her entire life. She's been waiting for this.
Finally got the chance to talk one-on-one with Sandra Diaz-Twine on an exit interview from our Australian Survivor recap on Survivor Global. But I do have to warn you, Sandra's phone is not necessarily Queen Stays Queen. She can get loud too, but not necessarily on this phone call, okay?
Yeah, a little bumpy, but
yeah,
you'll understand.
Hey, what about me? I should have beat Sandra. No, not Lil Bumpy. Okay, let's go ahead and hear from Sandra talking with Shannon Gus.
Sandra, I am such a huge fan, and it is just a privilege, like, to talk to you. I'm emotional about it. I'm sorry. It's like a bucket list moment for me. And I'm crying. Why? Okay. I'm so sorry.
I don't even cry.
But I'm so honored to have you on the podcast. Thank you for being here. And so many questions, so little time. So I have to ask you, how does it come to be that you're on a helicopter in Australia? You retire from Survivor and then you get the call, I assume, to play with Nina. Like, how? What is the A to B on that?
I got the call and I did retire. When I say I'm retiring, I mean every single word of it. And usually when I say I retire, it's like the day after I get voted out that we do our interviews and confessionals and stuff. And so usually every single player always says, I'm done with Survivor. And then a month later, 2 months later, a year later, and then the call comes and you're like, But for me, it wasn't about me coming back out to play. It was about a blood versus water and giving Nina the opportunity that she had wanted, because she had been wanting to play Survivor for a very long time. That's where the yes came into question, where I did not do this. If she definitely played, then I had to go off. If she could have played alone without me, even better. But definitely, I was happy to go. And then the helicopter, go on a helicopter. Are you kidding me? Like, my target is already big and now you want to put me on a chopper? And they had been standing out there in the sun for 20 to 30 minutes before I even showed up. Like, that was just the worst feeling. I was like, oh my God, like, I'm going to be gone before my game even starts on account of this helicopter.
Of course, to hear the full interview with Sandra, you can check that out in our Survivor Global podcast feed. Go to robinswebsite.com/globalfeed for that. And also check out Shannon's recap of the entire week of Australian Survivor with Australian Survivor 2017's Sarah.
To be a good, exciting podcast. The season's really picking up. I think we're about 9 episodes in now. And mm-hmm. so probably only like 67 more to go.
You want Shannon coming for you?
I mean, Shannon will come for me regardless. Like, I'm there's no way to protect my peace from that. Mm-hmm. It's gonna happen.
Okay. All right. I have one last clip for you. This is a clip that comes to us. Of course, people in the RHAP community know that we very sadly lost one of our friends, a member of the RHAP staff who we worked very closely with. Daquan passed away this week. We got terrible news late Tuesday night and found out that he had passed away. And so we were just completely shocked. He's such a big part of so many of the different podcast communities and Discord servers, Twitch streams. I mean, you name it. This was the kind of stuff that he loved being involved with, that he really helped get Taryn's Discord server off the ground, worked very closely with Puya, with Kirsten McInnes, with Post Show Recaps, and then, of course, with us here on Rob as a Podcast. And so we told people about what was going on Wednesday, and then to open up the Big Brother podcast, like, it felt like that it was the right spot to acknowledge Daquan. So here is how we opened Wednesday night's Big Brother recap. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here with our Big Brother celebrity recap here tonight on Wednesday the 16th. We have a recap coming up of tonight's episode of Big Brother, and we'll have the whole panel here in just a moment. But just wanted to open up the show with some very sad news that has really, rocked the RHAP and the reality TV community really over the last 24 hours, that we found out that one of the great, pillars of this community, somebody that worked with me on the RHAP staff, passed away. Daquan Wizard. That's what everybody knew him as. If you're here with us live in the chat, I'm sure you see all the purple hearts for our friend that we lost here this week. And, it's we're just gutted right now because he was such a big part of so much of what we do behind the scenes with the community, not just here on RHAP. Course, really is like the go-to guy for Discord and Twitch. Really got going on Taryn's Discord and Puya and Kirsten McInnes, Post Show Recaps, and I'm sure there's so many other podcasters and streamers that he helped set up along the way. And he was just one of the greatest guys. Was so helpful. Really pushed me personally in a lot of different directions outside of my comfort zone, trying to get more involved with Twitch. He held my hand through trying out so many new things that I wasn't necessarily ready to try, but he pushed me to, keep expanding what we were doing on RHAP. He had the biggest heart, and he will be so greatly missed. If you have ever watched a live show, I'm sure you've seen him in the chat. You may recognize his avatar. We have found a place for to keep it here on the screen during the shows to keep him very close to our memory. We're going to be coming up with a stream in the next couple of days to let people share some of their memories. I will keep you posted on when we have a date for that. And we will spend much more time talking about Daquan. But in the meantime, we're going to get to what he would have wanted us to get to, and that is talking about some Big Brother here tonight. So I'd like to take a moment to have a moment of silence for our dear friend Daquan, who we will miss greatly, and he will always be remembered by all the people that he touched in
in our lives in this space. And we love you, Daquan.
It's been a really hard week around here as this news has just really sunk in, and it's been a real challenge to do these podcasts and think of what it means to go on without him. So just really sending all of my thoughts to everybody that he touched, because I know there's so many people that are just so devastated right now about this terrible news. We will have a stream coming up that we're working to put together. It's going to be me and Taryn and Puya and Kirsten, Josh Wiggler, and others are going to get together. We're going to be on Taryn's Twitch stream, which is, I think, pretty appropriate because that's really where Daquan, you know, first got his footing with helping Taryn get his Discord up and running in this community. It's at twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We're going to be live on Monday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. We're going to have a link where people can be able to call in, share stories and memories from Daquan. And it will be a night where we will take some time to really remember a guy who was just, it was so important to him that people connected in these online communities. Like, that's what he was all about. And that's what we'll get together to do coming up on Monday night. So be on the lookout for that on Monday. We'll have that at 6 p.m. Eastern. And then there will be our normal Big Brother coverage coming up at 9 on Monday night. So no easy way to transition from that. But that's, you know, something that I think is really important that we do on Monday night, Sam.
Yeah, no, I'm happy we're able to do it. I hate that we have to do it. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like the most obvious thing to do. He was mm-hmm. such an integral part of so many different aspects of this community, and just bringing everyone together in one place and on Twitch. And anybody that knows Daquan knows Twitch and Discord's where it's at. So it seems very appropriate that it's there. And yeah, no, this has been, it's been really, really hard. This sucks, Rob. This mm-hmm. really, really sucks. Like, I don't think I've told you, like, so for those who don't know, we had meetings every Wednesday with Daquan and the rest of the social media team. And a couple weeks, like, everybody would leave. Daquan and I would just stay on these meetings and we just talk and just hang out and talk RHAP life, whatever is going on. And it's really hard. Mm-hmm. I miss him a lot. And I love you, Daquan. And yeah, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, well,
it's been a really hard week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we really appreciate everybody checking out the weekly wrap up and weighing in with their thoughts on what should and make it into the show. We really appreciate your feedback, of course. That's what makes this community wonderful, is the back and forth that we get to have with our listeners. So I just want to let you all know just how much we appreciate you and taking the time to listen to these podcasts. Does not ever get lost on me of how much, how meaningful that is to, you know, spend this time with you. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for listening, and have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye.